All right, welcome everybody to the Little Bear Sessions. We're here with Meg Lund this week. We're here with Yolanka, and myself, Justin. So, yeah, this is really, really exciting. And yeah, I just want to hand it off to you, Yolanka, to get us started here.
Well, so much has been going on in this year and this last few weeks that I just wanted to take a particular angle on this and kind of frame it and talk about what's been happening from one perspective, because then we'll see that we've each played a role in what's going on here and how they all tie together. And so we're kind of weaving our experiences together in a greater tapestry here, which is also a tapestry that's involving the earth. You know, as we're talking now, kind of we're just starting to get a surge into the bull, which is on the corresponding side. On the other side, we've got getting ready for things to start closing down with Saturn. So it's really interesting. What happened, just to take this back a bit, earlier this year, Justin and I started talking about setting up how we were going to have these sessions. And one of the things we did in the early days of our discussions, we created a space in the invisible world, if you like, the other dimensions of reality. We wanted to create a safe space where the nature powers could come and play. And so we'd spend a little bit of time talking and imagining, sharing this. Justin invoked a Poseidon, like masculine energy, who has been presiding, you know, over this. And then an opportunity came up, and I set up a group. I called in a group. And what happened is that this group of individuals formed the group in the invisible world, so in their greater embodiments, in some cases before they even realized that they were doing it consciously. And this is something that's going on right now, which is it's very comforting to know this, to know that not only is your greater self, your higher self, your soul, however you want to describe it, and it doesn't matter how you describe it in the way that makes sense and feels right to you, is already working with all the other souls that it needs to be working with, that you need to be working with. And so this is a great thing that's happening, already orchestrating all the events to come together. So what happened is this group formed, and only at the time, I think only three of us actually physically knew about it. And somebody brought into the group right from the start, a man, a big problem. He was under a spell that he didn't know that he was under. And this was a big spell that had been causing him a lot of problems for quite a while. And so he announced this before the other members of the group had actually physically joined the group. When they joined the group, one of the female members immediately picked up what this spell was, and it was a big one. It was a spell that was underlying the tensions in the Middle East right now. I'm not going to name the spell. The reason I'm not going to name it is because when you name these things, especially when it's something you've resolved, you have the possibility of bringing it back into the minds and therefore the reality of some people who have not yet been cleared of it. So I'm not going to name it. So this woman joined the group, and she didn't know about the guy who had already brought in this spell, because he did that before she joined. So it was on Telegram. So it wasn't obvious to her. But we cleared some of that spell, which was anchored in Germany, and immediately he came back and said, "This spell's gone. I'm feeling just so great." His wife said how much he changed, and you know, it was a really obvious and very powerful event that happened there. But there was another two aspects going on with this spell. One was it was also anchored in the Middle East. I'm going to come back a bit later and ask Meg to talk about attachments and how these spells work and the anchoring, because it has a big effect on all of our reality at the moment. There's a lot of clearing going on here. So anyway, so Meg cleared this particular place in the Middle East where this spell was anchored. And as that happened, Justin, who didn't know what we were doing because he hadn't been online at that point, he experienced this expansion within himself and his physical experience, you know, of himself. So as the spell lifted, he grew into his greater embodiment. And at roughly the same time, it seemed like the earth also grew into her physical, greater physical embodiment, because we started to see this increase in vortices and still centers. So that's the kind of what's happened, you know, very recently over the last couple of weeks. I hope that made sense. And so what we're doing now is we're bringing it, we're anchoring it again within our own the physical reality here as we talk about it, and enable it to go out to other people who weren't directly involved but are, you know, they weren't physically involved, I should say, but are still playing their roles here, and they'll start to realize it through what we're talking about. So maybe the next place to go from here is Meg. Do you want to talk a bit about how these spells and attachments work?
Okay, so I feel like a lot of people might be able to relate from different modalities that there have been kind of these little spiral vortex knots that are in our biofield and in our brain that seem to be portals to something. And German New Medicine is a really good example of that. On the brain scans, they can actually see these bullseye spots. So this is a physical representation of how you can see these spells that cause disease and problems with people, and that they're correlated with different parts of the body and different diseases. Early on, when I was playing with my vortex tool, I was in a German New Medicine class, and the teacher presented a brain scan and wanted to teach the other students how to spot the vortexes. And they're a little bit, you know, it takes a trained eye in German New Medicine to see them. I just ran the vortex tool over them and pop, pop, pop. They just were all very clearly, I've got all of the ones the teacher was talking about, plus another handful. So it's very clear that whatever it is that I'm picking up with the vortex tool is connected to our problems, our diseases. There's so much research with German New Medicine that speaks for itself, that there's volumes and volumes, you know, just a huge amount of history and physical proof. And then Eileen McCusick's work with the tuning forks is another expression of how these knots that she was able to sense in the biofield with her tuning forks, that she would scan through the biofield, the tuning fork would ring a kind of annoying sound when it was hitting a knot, and she would comb through it and, you know, and heal people over many sessions. It took a lot of work to get all the sticky gooey stuff. She called it like iron filings that she could feel as she was, you know, pulling this through the biofield to heal these things. And in my research, I was doing this with a pendulum. I could see, when I looked at a map of the person's biofield, I could see exactly what Eileen McCusick was talking about. And I was doing my work that way before the vortex tool. So the vortex tool even made all of this, you know, pop much more. But easily, clearly, everybody is sensing that What used to be really sticky and hard to get through is now just like sweeping up. I feel like we're the sweeping crew now. We just, you know, mopping it up. It's going by really lightly. And I was able to use my vortex tool to see that there were lines and vortices around the planet that were associated with different colors, and each color had its own attachment that was a counterclockwise to the human person. So it was something that was unhelpful for us. Would you like me to list those attachments and the colors that are associated with them, Yolanda, at this time?
Yeah, I think that's great. By the way, let me just say, what Meg is the inventor, I don't know if I mentioned this, of the vortex tool in which my magic wand is based. So you know, she's the one that really brought this to light, the tools that many of us are now using. So thanks for that, Meg. And yeah, tell us about the colors.
Okay. So in regards to the vortex tool, I should quick mention that in the last few weeks, we've upgraded it and we're using also silver and gold. And I also have platinum in my vortex tool. And with those, there's certain attachments that I wasn't able to see before. So I'll mention those as I'm going through, but I highly recommend that you upgrade your vortex tool because there was some, it covered all colors, but it did not cover all planes of nature and all colors. By using extra wires, you're getting a even broader spectrum. So, okay. So what I did was I would key into the color vibration when I would see a counterclockwise spiral or vortex portal, and then I would just start stating different things that it possibly could be related to. Is this related to something, you know, on the earth, a plant, a mineral, a person, you know, planet? And these are the answers that I got, and they have been consistent. And I have seen some correlation between what I have doused here with what other dowsers have gotten for ley lines and such that they have doused, that they are related also to the same planet or earth elemental that I got. So I will list this now. For red is Saturn, orange is Jin, yellow is AI, green is water elemental, blue is Mars, indigo is Sirius, violet is Jin, UV is Moon, white is, I'm calling the White Witch, and it's white with rainbow. It's all colors, and this is the one that I didn't really see until I put the gold wire in, and it's a really, really big one. So it has, you know, connections to every color vibration. And I feel like it's kind of the antithesis of the goodness of Earth. And negative green is the soil elemental. And black is Uranus, or black goo, or black ops. And infrared is Jin again. So I think it's possible that sometimes the counterclockwise is the antithesis of the clockwise version of the colors. So when we see a clockwise green or negative green, I think we're looking at the earth energies, and clockwise white with rainbow is, again, very strong white earth energies. And what we've been seeing is that our entire biofield, the human biofield, has completely changed in this year. And I started studying it early this year, and all of a sudden things were really, really changing. We used to have very distinct what we call BG3 and 369 energy layers that are the masculine and the feminine. And those are dissolving, have dissolved. And now we see just most people, if not everyone, now has a white with rainbow aura. So people have gone from being polarized into individual color bands to having the whole color spectrum in their aura now. And more recently, I've seen that a lot of people have even helicopter spins, we call it, where it's just so much beautiful energy coming from around the aura of people. I was seeing that there was a lot of very good people, but with religious connections, having their auras spin counterclockwise. And when this recent spell was broken, and I didn't even know what you guys were doing or anybody was doing, and it just happened that all of a sudden, all of these people that I had been measuring with the counterclockwise were going clockwise. And then just this past week, the new experience of the still center in the homes, and this, I've been measuring the vibrational qualities of homes of myself and a good more than a handful of other people, and for 3 years, and I've never seen anything like this. It's never happened, and the entire house is like the womb. It's a still center. It has the same vibrational quality as the core of an apple. And I feel that this is a very centering and healing quality. A friend of mine has one of these big tensor coils that you sit in. It's the G coil from Mars Tools. And she gets that still center when she sits in it. And she's been talking about the, you know, the beautiful healing that she experiences in that. And I feel that, and what I'm measuring is that this quality is actually preventing all of the sticky stuff from sticking. So the attachments are just falling away. And the few that are left, it's just, you just kind of look at them and they're gone. So I'm like, oh, I don't want that. And it's clear. So the tool has been helpful to be able to see things that were unseen. So I always have said it's like lifting the veil. You know, now we can see, and there's no more hidden little energies that are causing so much strife in people, and the inability of people to get along, and you don't understand why they're just acting really weird towards you, because there's just something and you don't know. But, you know, it's been the way it has been for all of humanity for so long, and communities don't work, and families don't work, and relationships don't work unless they just keep them at a, you know, superficial, functional, you know, you do this, I do that, and we'll get along. But it's very rare that you'll see a true relationship really growing people and working with people in this world. But I feel like this is all changing as all of these attachments and spells that have been on humanity are dissolving away, and people are going to be able to be who they really are.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. It's really, when you say lifting the veil, what I'm seeing is it's as we're all coming more into our, I call it greater embodiment, or our multidimensional selves, or our awareness of our, it's not just our biofield, it's how we are actually, you know, you can call it the I am. We are part of everything all at once, and just a point of consciousness and location and physical density of that. And as we're becoming aware of that, we're becoming aware of how some of these things that you talked about, the attachments that affect our functioning and our relationships and our ability to think and process and learn and interact in this physical reality, are caused by things that are in this greater, you know, reality that we are now having access to, and that we are clearing as we can. And it seems like as we do our work, and I'm sure there's other people that are doing this in their own, I don't know if you can hear the dog barking in the background, doing it in their own way as well. I notice that it seems to come to a point when it like gets registered in the earth. And the earth, then it's like, then we get a stage leap, you know? Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, so this is something. Yesterday, I measured for the first time the plant world, because I've been keeping an eye on that for some time, where I'll measure trees and their energy, and I'll take some from my yard and then some from further away to try to get the overall feeling of what the plant world is sensing. And the reason I started looking into this is because there were these plant down days that happened, and I was able to record the dates that they were happening, and you could see the stress on the trees, and sometimes vegetables in the garden would just stop growing at that point and then, you know, restart again. But early in the late August this year and early September were really loaded with those kind of days. So as I would measure, I would see, you know, on this day, clockwise, 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 and then all of a sudden, boom, and this day, boom, just nothing. You know, the plant was really stressed and there just was no energy, life coming from it. So anyway, I went back to this week and I started to measure, and I get my normal clockwise. But by a week ago, Sunday, all of a sudden, there's a really strong pickup, and every day it's getting more and more as I'm testing. Each day is getting stronger and stronger clockwise. So the plant world is super happy right now. I have not seen this in, you know, all the years that I've been measuring, and it's wonderful to see, and I'm really excited to see what that means.
I think one of the great things that you're highlighting is that many of us are kind of, you know, intuitives, and we pick things up and have confirmation in our own way. But you've been discovering and describing a process that is very simple, that anybody can use to, and doesn't require expensive tools, that they can use to both confirm what they intuitively know, if that's what they want to do, and also to be able to find and correct or clear problems in their environment that are affecting them. They can find it very easily just by using this tool and a neutral pendulum. And the clockwise indicates that it's good for you, you know, and the counterclockwise, you know, spin on the pendulum indicates that it's not. And so all of a sudden, like you say, it's lifted the veil. Things you kind of like know, oh yes, I feel this, or I know this, but now there's you know, we have a very clear way, if you want to, you know, to discover something that you can see, you know, like what's going on with your garden? Why is your dog, you know, unhappy today? You know, I found that our dogs are very often indicating things in us that we are not aware of, you know, ourselves. You've found that as well, haven't you? I think with the animals.
Yes, absolutely. We saw the spells on the dogs for sure. And it was very hard to uncover them. Like they were really wanting to stay, and they keep coming back. And so it's really good to understand when an energy is actually a spell and how to break that spell.
And how do you find if it's a spell? What's the process?
Well, if I find an attachment that just wants to keep coming back, and even as I'm clearing it, it just keeps coming back and clearing, 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 and it's no. Then I know I need to do a little bit something more. And I've used full color corrections to seal. And it helps sometimes to locate the source of the spell, because I think that's sometimes what it is indicating to us, that it wants us to follow this through and find out where it's coming from, you know, so we have a greater understanding of the world around us. And so sometimes we follow it through to a particular person. So I would just douse, you know, the direction of this wave and person I know, and, you know, pinpoint to where the energy is coming from. I can see the resonance, and I can see when there's a counterclockwise resonance with a person. And then sometimes the energy is actually coming from behind that person and they don't even realize it. So their intentions might be good. They're sending you some kind of a prayer or Reiki energy or something, and they think they're doing you a good deed. And there's an energy in that that is coming through that isn't such, you know, benevolent. They don't know it. And so then the clearing needs to happen behind the person to whatever is coming up through that person to you. So that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. A lot of the people who are under these spells, first of all, they don't know that they're under it, like the guy that I talked about in the first group that we had. And also, not only do they not know they're under it, they think that they're doing something really good for you, because I think one of the things that we're finding, just to, this is an interpretation, is that religion is actually, you know, an imposition on our own divinity and our own greater, you know, embodiment, and that it has caused an awful lot of problems and roped in a lot of people to be giving their energy, you know, to something and putting their thoughts and their prayers or their good wishes for somebody out in a particular way through a channel that's actually contaminated. Because I've found that so many of the people that I've been working with were under spells that actually came from the church. And as we know, many of these churches were built on power spots. They were built on sacred, you know, power spots. And it really seems that these are, you know, are things that that we're now being invited to clear if we want. That when someone's under, you know, the spell, and when you can find it, it's because it's ready to be cleared. I don't sit around going around looking for these things. They just, you know, they just come up, and it really looks like there is a big dismantling of the religious infrastructure that's, you know, it's going on, you know, right now. Does anyone want to comment on that?
I think that also you want to include the New Age world as far as where the spells can come from, because definitely religion, but there's no avenue. There's no anybody who is really popular. I wouldn't trust the energies that are coming through them, and I don't think that they are necessarily unaware of these things. I mean, aware. I don't think they're necessarily aware of these things. I'm pretty sure they're not, but a lot of the tools, and I've tested pendulums, multiple pendulums. The only one that I can really say is genuinely typically clear of anything is just a simple acrylic, you know, neutral pendulum that you can get like on Eileen Acoustic Cells for $20. And I think that's the safest bet, because there's so many energies coming through on all of these tools, and people are looking for something spiritual and they're getting it. And I guess it's fitting that people who are spiritual seekers are the ones who are going to have to balance the spiritual energies, and they're not necessarily our friends. And the jinn that I mentioned behind many of the attachments are beings that have liked to be imposters as higher beings to humanity. So I would put in that category, you know, people who appear to people and as a saint or a holy person, as a alien or higher being, an angelic being, you know, they like to presume that they, or they like to pretend like they're just a little bit holier than everybody else. And so that they have people giving their energy and their power to these beings, they love it. They they love to be just a little higher on a pedestal and they get the attention and worship, or, you know, whatever the power and energy of a human who really has more than that within themselves and are doing a disservice to all that they are, you know, their potential when they give it over to these things.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for highlighting that. That's absolutely, that's brilliant. It's absolutely spot on. And some of these energies actually come through the artifacts that are associated with these people, you know, paintings, you know, statues, the all of these kind of things. They are actually act like interference in between us and the signal that we're receiving and that we're also generating as part of the cosmos and part of the earth. They kind of channel you in a particular way, don't they? Really quite literally.
Yes, and also the, like I was mentioning, also the new age symbols and tools and signs, you know, so things that are not necessarily religious, but there's definitely possible attachments to anything that you're putting some kind of spiritual significance onto. So it's really good to measure and be sure. And the best thing to, I think, to just really enjoy things that are coming right out of human consciousness. Art. Art is amazing, the energies that are coming from our own art. I feel like that's pretty free of attachments and very beautiful, especially children's art. And it's bringing us into these new energies. They're actually creating energetic exchanges within our biofields and our bodies by looking at it. Other people's art, and it could be, you know, sculptures and paintings, and once you start to measure it, you can get a feel for it so that you can look at a piece and you know it's going to have that energy. And now I measure and confirm, but yeah, it's been beautiful.
And some of that you mentioned as well, that a lot of the healing tools also have these attachments. And obviously, I don't want to go into naming any specific tools and companies, but there's various devices, laser kind of devices, electronic devices. You've tested quite a lot of them, haven't you? And found that they might do some good, but they also very often have a detrimental aspect. Is there anything that people can do who already have these devices to, you know, clear them?
It does seem like the still center of the home is automatically clearing things. That'll be very helpful. But I do think it was part of the lesson that humanity needed to learn, that we really don't need anything outside of ourselves for our healing. And so as long as we're continuing to reach outside of ourselves, we're going to get little strings. Everything comes with strings.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of leads to what your kind of full bodied sort of experience was.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, first of all, thank you both. This is really wonderful here. Yeah, so that is what my work has been about, is really embodying and essentially letting go of any and everything outside of myself that is non-essential, you know. And it's really been for me a feeling based, you know, kinesthetic movement based journey that has been, you know, ongoing since I was in my teen years. And I got really knotted up, you know, during that time. And then in my early 20s, essentially mid 20s, it's been a journey of untying these internal knots through, you know, different modalities of movement and breath work and breathing and immersion into the natural world more and more, and utilizing my intuition to, you know, form a relationship with the natural world, with, you know, with the mother. And you know, it's been a wonderful journey. But what I've noticed is that there have been particular constriction patterns within the body, within this particular body. And early on, the whole thing was like that, basically. You know, it was like a just a full stone, you know, a rock that needed to be opened up. And so over the years, you know, different trauma releasing techniques and different, like I said, movement and breathing patterns and different places that I visited, I began to essentially acquire a greater awareness over time through these movements. And I would experience a shift of feeling more and deeper into myself. And so anyway, this has gone on, and I would feel these different constriction patterns release as they would over the years. And it would correlate to certain things that events that would happen, you know, in my life. And a lot of the things that you and I would work on, Yolanda, they would show up, you know, it would go both ways. You know, I would experience something in my movement sessions, and then that would be confirmed through what you would experience. Or different events would come up and confirm some of these things. And so anyways, I've just been tracking internally how things would release, how I would have essentially different constrictions release, and how that would then show up in my life, you know, how my relationships would improve, you know, how just, you know, things that were felt sticky and stuck for so long, and I had no idea why, would all of a sudden be available, you know, and just seeing the general quality of my life improve, and also the others around me improve as well. So, you know, I began to see that correlation more and more and more. And then as of recently, you know, we're talking about with this last round, as this group formed and these events took place, I had an experience of essentially my practice has remained basically consistent over the years. Very, very simple practice, essentially. What that has allowed me to notice the contrast and the differences, you know, that occur. And that happened. And essentially what I noticed on this last round was a complete release of my body. Essentially I felt my well, I guess you know, I would refer to as my physical body completely open up. Just completely open to where it felt like I was reflecting the sun in my heart. And the heart was then radiating throughout my entire physical body and then expanding outward, and I could very viscerally feel another layer, which I felt, you know, vaguely in particular instances, and here and there I could detect, you know. But this was very clearly something, this was something new and different. This was a completely new phase of feeling this, right? And it was a, you know, sort of a feeling like a reflection out into the, what I would, you know, what I would call a greater, what felt like a greater body, you know. And with this is just the general knowing that just said everything is okay, you know, everything is good. So a lot of the you know, the attachments, you know, Meg, like you're speaking of seeing these attachments through these modalities, and being able to see them and watch them vanish essentially and disappear and turn into something more beautiful. To me, this is just phenomenal, and it's wonderful and beautiful, and I'm really happy to be a part of it. So yeah, that's been my experience as of late, and I really resonate with what we're talking about here about, you know, the tools and the things that are outside of ourselves. You know, it's like a maxim, you know, for me is we have everything we need, you know, and the heart, the body and the heart is the most sophisticated, most, you know, advanced form of technology that there is. And so as we begin to tune in more to that, and as I've been able to tune in more and more to that, it's being revealed to us as to why and how that is the case. So I'll stop there.
Well, what I'm really enjoying is that, you know, you're describing this kind of, you know, expansion of yourself and this awareness of your greater self. Meg's discovering the, you know, the expansion of us that she's, you know, she's measuring, she's seeing the changes in the field. And then just recently we've started to see these changes that are happening actually within the earth and nature and our relationship with earth and nature. I'm noticing it here because of, you know, of where we live, that relationships and interchanges with the wild animals. So, you know, we've been having this this thing going on with the boar. like 2 weekends ago, we planted a bunch of trees, and then a couple of days later, the boars just went and dug them all up. And they didn't just dig them all up; they dug them up and they flung them all over the place, all around, you know, everywhere. And it was a very strange, kind of odd thing, like, you know, what's going on. And anyway, it turned out that there's a communication going. Obviously, there was a communication. It's like, what's happening here? And the boar have been kind of quite significant in my story and the interactions I've had with them over the years. And then it turned out that the boars wanted me to tell their story. And so, you know, so I've started with that. And it's just a kind of a little, it's a very heart kind of filling kind of just experience. It's like, and so now there's this communication going on. You know, Izzy's involved in the communication because she's telling us when the boars are in the garden in the night. She has a particular kind of a bark that she doesn't otherwise have. You know, her boar call, she also has a deer call. And so, you know, so this whole kind of other level of communication and interaction is opening up for me here and just the way we are. But Meg, you've noted like how many of these vortices and still centers, you know, are there now that you've seen opening up, because that is enabling, creating the, I don't know, the connection that we're part of, where other people can have their own stories and their emergence and things happening on that are kind of like you say, they lift your heart, they open you up. What's the story there, Meg? How many of these still centers have you found now?
So we're getting close to 40,000 now. And when I first measured, it was about 74, and it's been doubling by the day. So it's doubling like according to the crystal spiral, which is supposed to be a more natural spiral that actually goes to the center, whereas the Fibonacci spiral always leaves the center. Every next number is away from the center, but the crystal spiral can always go right back to the center, which fits with our still centers that our homes are becoming. So yeah, it's very exciting. Many houses that I'm checking are not people that are aware of any of this and are not, you know, doing any of this work, and just people that I've, like I said, I've kind of, I've measured for a lot of different reasons. I've measured for how far away I see the energies that I'm creating in my home reaching and things like that. So I have, you know, a good number of houses that I've just been checking on for 3 years. And those homes are becoming still centers. So I'm not sure if I need to do more testing to see, you know, but the ones that of my loved ones and everything are all already still centers. There's a little bit of a fluctuation that's happening. And when I measure, it's not always a still center. Sometimes it's what I call a minus sign or a plus sign. And then the person is measuring the opposite of that. So if the house is measuring a minus sign, the person will be measuring a plus sign. There's like I would say it's a working signal. There's something going on. There's still, you know, transformation happening. And then a little time later, it might be the opposite of that, or it might be the still center. So it's just kind of settling into the new energies.
So let's just reel back there a minute. 40,000. And that's been in the last, was it, probably 2 weeks, something like that?
No, I know that.
Oh, can't hear you. What's happened? Can you hear me? I've kind of lost the sound.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I had muted. So yeah, I think it's only been about a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, take 74 and double it by the day. And that's where we're at. So yeah, you can get a big number pretty fast when you go doubling.
I mean, we have to go into speculation here. I mean, what, you know, this, what do you think this means? What's...
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's so exciting. It's exciting to see that at the same time, the plant world has just been crazy happy. And what does that mean? And it's funny because, we have fall decorations downstairs and there's two different signs that say fall. And I'm like, fall, fall. And, we had with these plant down days, It really felt to me like there was a fake fall. It's just kind of like that little phrase, fake fall. Did humanity have a fake fall? So, because the leaves and everything, the plants just acted so strangely this fall. We had, plants just kind of die down and turn bright colors way early, and in correlation to these plant down days that I saw, but not all of them, and others are still green or just finally are starting to turn color. Like it felt like some energy knew that fall didn't really want to happen this year, so they had to create it by killing down the plants, you know, and so it was completely staggered and unnatural the way that fall happened this year. There was color early, then there was, you know, others that didn't color until way late, and, you know, just very staggered. And now these plants just so happy. What does this mean? I have no idea. And all of our homes becoming still center, and all of the attachments that have been making people kind of not act who they really are falling away. I'm just really excited. I think something wonderful is happening here.
Definitely. I can relate to the fake ball because we had like a really unbearably hot, August here. I mean, it was completely dry and temperature was like 50 centigrade, like 115, 120 Fahrenheit. It was unbearable. And all the leaves kind of died because they just frazzled. Everything just burnt up on the hill. You know, it was just all the leaves fell and all the trees went bare. And then one September, it just started raining. The weather changed. It normalized. Within a week, our willow tree that dropped all its leaves grew all its leaves back. and then we had, then we started to have some things that were kind of like a bit odd, like, one of our apple trees, actually several of our apple trees, they lost a lot of their fruit because it was too hot and dry and it burned. But they, when September, and well, actually a bit later, and as we came into October, they blossomed again. And so we had, you know, obviously the stress did something, but then there was this surge of energy. So we have an apple tree which has mature apples and blossoms on it at the same time. and then on the hill, like the blackthorn blossomed again. There was one very odd experience which I talked to Meg about, which I had, I was using numbers to harmonize some of the electrical outlets around our house. And instead of numbers, I was using groups of numbers. So if you put a group of the same thing, like the number 9 and then the 16, which is the number of perfection, to harmonize it. So I had a group of 9 lentils and a group of 16 lentils on a piece of card. And I've had this here for like 3 years, you know, over the electrical sockets. And it does harmonize it. You can test, because then it doesn't, the pendulum doesn't go counterclockwise to you when you look at it or touch it. And these, after 3 years, these lentils, like the really old before that, they sprouted. They actually sprouted and grew. And there were others around that I found when I was vacuuming. So all of a sudden, this, I don't know what kind of surge. It really felt like what we're talking about, full color, is life force. It's a, you know, it's a surge of life force, because we're not connected to any grid, you know, here. So our electricity just comes from the sun, and the, you know, and the solar panels. So, and the earth in general. So there are these things, you know, going on. And now, you know, we've been having, quite a lot of rain, and it's very mild. You know, it's it really feels that we're in, you know, uncharted territory, but that it's really good. It's not dangerous territory, because I'm noticing, I'm observing, in the sense of how to make sense of this, I'm observing how other people are reacting and what people are doing and saying. And people that have no interest in this kind of exploring the world and themselves in this way are just becoming just easier going. You know, they're just like, oh, well, you know, things just don't seem to be so weighing, so heavy, you know, on them. They're still not going to suddenly, you know, want to know what's happening and what's going on, but within the framework of their own lives, they just seem more at ease. And able to deal with it, with things that come up, and actually dealing with the things that are in their own lives, and not kind of worrying about things a long way away. That's definitely something I'm noticing.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that. But the story about the sprouts, people have to realize how absolutely crazy and unusual this is. The pictures, yeah, you need to post the picture on your blog, because nobody will believe it. The papers, the little paper boats that she had these seeds in, are completely dry. There was never any soaking. If anybody has done sprouting before, you know that you need to first soak the seed for, you know, overnight at least, and then you need to continue to water them. We make lentil sprouts all of the time, and, you know, we, after a long time, you know, of not watering them, they just get leggy and thin. Well, what she showed me are completely sprouted plants with green leaves on the end of them, you know, big long sprouts with green leaves, a lot of them. And the little boats are not, wet at all. There's no moisture. This is a complete, this is a miracle. This is not something that could ever happen in nature ever. And to have that happen in three different places in your house, even one place would have been a complete miracle. So what that is meaning, and then also it makes me think of the fact that the still center is a womb where things sprout from. It's the seed capsule. It's the place where life comes from. So yeah, I think that was really significant.
I think I'll put that picture on the front of this talk when it goes out, because it's quite a curiosity, and then we explain it. But yeah, and that I think part of that is I like to have my confirmation in particular. I like nature to show me that she's got the that she's interacting, that she's displaying what's going on in a way that I can see clearly and understand, and is kind of quite, it's lighthearted. It's really this opening up. It's kind of like, oh yes, we can do this. But with it happening with other people as well that I've seen, also there's another layer to this, which is there are some fears that do come up as well, but only because they need to be cleared. Within this kind of space, this still center, things do float in, because this is like the vortex, and they do come in. But when they come in, it's because it's ready to be cleared, and it really doesn't take very much. In some cases, it only needs to be acknowledged, just to acknowledge that this is a problem, and just to acknowledge the problem without engaging very emotionally with it. It's like, oh, here this comes again. Time to let that one go, and this is a very beautiful thing that's going on.
Yeah, the way that resonates with me, and the way that it feels to me, like as I'm working through these different, thoughts that come in, or different scenarios, or different whatever it is, it registers to me as a signal to breathe in a particular areas of the body, like deeper into the body. So for me, it's like whenever I feel something come in like that, or I sense something come in or see or hear or whatever it is, I start to breathe down into like the tail, like into my tailbone starts to just expand. I start to breathe down in there, or breathing down low into the belly, which it sort of has a clearing effect on my entire field whenever I do that. And it makes for like whatever's coming in just to easily, make its way through and float on through as I bring, or acknowledge my breath down low, or in the tailbone, in the coccyx, or somewhere in that region. It sort of neutralizes anything that is lingering around or coming through.
Yeah, I noticed with the breathe, my breathing, I like to breathe, and sometimes I felt more inclined to breathe, and this realize, deeply, consciously, I should say. And it occurs to me at one point, oh, that's right. My lungs, they're my wings. They're kind of like an internal wing, they just felt like these, these wings. And that kind of was, a good feeling, and just another way of I mean, kind of using the word connecting, but it isn't really connecting, because connecting seems to imply that there's two different parts that are coming together. And so it doesn't really feel like connecting, to me, because any this sense of separation has isn't really there anymore. It feels more like engagement. It feels more like engaging. So, you know, there we go through our ordinary lives. We have things to do, you know, this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, there's this kind of expansion, like, you know, something happens and the sense of time, you know, changes. You know, that's when I kind of feel like breathing. And it's like something else has opened up. And then something very often will float into my awareness, into the still center. And it can be something that's just very, you know, delightful, you know, something, a communication, you know, from an animal or something, and or something, it can be something to be done that's really just quick and easy to do in that moment. It's like, okay, that's, you know, that's happened. So I feel like we're experiencing a different, a new way of being ourselves, in, you know, in the earth, you know, in the earth, in the sense where we're in the earth, between the surface of the earth and the troposphere. We're in the body of the earth in this space. I'm enjoying that.
That it really resonates with me. And 20 years ago, I was on a Catholic homesteading forum, and I so strongly had the inspiration that we needed to be ground rods for evil, that, you know, it needed to end with us. And, you know, I just imagined us just whatever is going around, just, you know, sink on down and hit through into the earth. So planting that in and just being done with it, just let that energy, you know, if it, like you were saying, the vortex might attract things, just let them go on right on in. Be done. But yeah, I totally resonate too with that, acknowledging it. Sometimes it just wants you to say, yeah, I feel your pain. I'm sorry, you know, too bad. Goodbye. Done with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how we're experiencing these sessions. That's how I'm experiencing these sessions with the breathing, because the when you said the lungs are like the wings, that's how I use them. And so I will go into, you know, like a hyper oxygenation or a super, you know, oxygenated state, to where I am expanded, you know, I am sensing that I'm flying, essentially. It feels that way. And then as I've become, I've learned how to work with these different states, I will come from that, you know, expanded state down and land, essentially. And then the center and the stillness just gets, there's layers of stillness, you know, a deepening of stillness, a deepening of stillness, a deepening of just stillness. So it's been a practice of a flight, you know, expanding through the lungs and the wings, opening up, and then coming back to the center of the center of the center of the stillness. And, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like kind of being, it's like a meditative state, but not a meditative state where you're, you know, trying, you know, anything. It really is this calm mind. So the stillness is a very calm mind with the absence of lots, you know, thinking, lots of thinking about, you know, things that have to be done. You know, it's kind of like when you need to do something, it comes up to be done, and that's it. You don't, you know, there isn't a lot of this mental angst and filling sort of the space with all of this, got to do this and got to do that, should do this and should do that's really, really gone. And the timing feels so, a lot of time, the pressure of time went a long time ago, but now timing really feels really good. Like it's easier to do things at the right time. When you do it at the right time, it's easier to do it. Yeah. So we're all doing great then. And the people that we're seeing, that, like I say, we're connecting with, they seem to be doing great. These 40,000 still centers, are they kind of, do you know where they are located in the world? Have you seen any pattern there, Meg?
No, I only charted that the first time that I counted them, and I had no idea they were going to be going up so fast. So, you know, so my first count, when I looked at the first 74, I saw there was something like, you know, 11 in Russia, 11 in the United States. You know, they were pretty well dispersed. There was maybe more in Australia and New Zealand than you would expect in like the Philippines for the smaller area that they have, but it's good. I mean, just well dispersed, I would say. But yeah, I'll definitely check now and sometime soon to see where we're at as far as quantities, if there's any sign of them being any more heavily in one area or another.
Yeah, I'm still noticing, but things come to my attention where there are some places where there are still some negative energies that are affecting people. A few have come up in France quite over this last weekend that have been affecting different friends there. So we did some clearing there, but like I say, I'm wondering to what extent it really feels like it's going to be taking care of itself quite soon.
Yeah,
that's not to place it.
I really feel that we are over the hump and that everything is, you know, just falling into place now, and I'm just kind of placeholders and observers. I've felt that way this whole year. I'm just a secretary just taking notes. Wow, this is happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I don't know, is there anything else we want to bring up here? It seems like we've kind of really covered everything, like really clearly, beautifully, satisfying for me. You got any you know, thoughts or questions?
Feels good here.
Well, should we just wrap it up then?
Yes, that sounds great. This has been wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, any closing comments, anything anybody wants to say? I think we've said
I'd like to come back and explore, you know, come back and you know, have another look at what we're discovering and what we're experiencing as a result of this in a while. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.